This morning, it is Christmas. So what would Christmas be if we didn't read the Christmas story, right? So if you would open up to Matthew 2, and we're going to be reading verses 18 through 23. Matthew 2, 18 through 23. Well, you guys got to stand. Come on, kiddos. You're going to be sitting for a long time, so take this opportunity to stand. Matthew 2, 18 through 23. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, means engaged, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with a child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, this is an amazing story. The story of your birth. Jesus, it's such a joy to be with your people in this place, worshiping you, opening your word. Lord God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you guide my words this morning as my words are directed towards these kids. Muzzle my mouth. keep me in line, Lord. It's easy to get excited and have fun, but Lord, this is such an amazing opportunity, and I thank you for it. Lord, just help us to see you in every part of our lives. Help us listen to your directions. Help us to be sensitive to what you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ladies, you may be seated. Gentlemen, you may be seated. All right. So what we've got here, okay, so first of all, just so everybody else knows, you guys are just kind of hanging out. This is for these guys, all right? So if you pick up on something, that's good, right? But pretty much, it's just for them, all right? So the book of Matthew, the very first book in the New Testament, we call this like the Genesis of the New Testament. And I love how Matthew starts the birth of Jesus and how he explains it, because he frames it in this really, really important concept. And he gets it, if you guys remember, it said from the prophet, right? He gets it from the prophet Isaiah. And here's the concept that he wants everything to fall under here. And that is that God is with us. Emmanuel, right? God is with us. He's not just simply watching. He's not orchestrating things up there as like a puppet master. He's not just sitting up there uninterested, but he is, in fact, with us, right? So for a while, I've been thinking about Mary and Joseph and this journey that they had to make to Bethlehem. And I mean, since we read it in Luke's gospel a few months ago, it's just stuck in my head. Like, this journey that they had to make has just been churning in my mind, like the image of what their lives must have been like during that time, you know, how God, through them, through their bravery, their faithfulness, how God had his plan fulfilled. And I just keep going back to their lives and how totally, like, turned upside down their lives were, right? How their plans, like, their vision for what they thought they were going to do, how they thought life was going to be, how it was totally, like, just turned over and flipped around and put on its head, and then they took that and they handled it, right? And then I was thinking about how we look at, like, the nativity scene up here. You see that on the mantle? And how we have, like, it's such a serene picture in our minds, isn't it? It's such, like, this nice, clean picture. But it was probably not very pleasant for Mary and Joseph. Like, it was probably a stressful time. It was probably difficult for them. But all through it, there's this theme that God is with us, right? And as I'm studying for this message and I'm praying about it, I can't help but think about this journey that they had to make. That the weeks, the days leading up to Jesus being born, how that's such a journey. It was actually the word that I came up with that I found that best described it is an adventure. I mean, really, it is. Because what's an adventure? An adventure is to come into the unknown, right? To take steps like not knowing where your foot's going to land next, but being sure enough that you're willing to do it. And it's framed here by us knowing that God is with us during those steps. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. This adventure, all right? Because while we see this part of it, getting to there was pretty interesting, okay? So has anyone been on an adventure before? Yes, yes, yes. All right, right? Nobody out there has. Just you guys. So it must be it was without your parents, right? Yeah, so like almost all of you have been on an adventure. So, all right. And if you haven't, I'll bet you that you actually have and you just didn't realize it. Because not all adventures look the same, right? So when you think about this idea of an adventure, what do you think? Do you think, is this exciting or is this a boring thing? It's okay. It's exciting. Like, an adventure is supposed to be exciting. If it's boring, it's probably not an adventure, right? So to be called an adventure, it has to be exciting. And it must include certain things. I found this out. This is deep research here. You got to know this. So specifically, to qualify as an adventure, we need three things. Are you ready? And if I had the whiteboard, I'd write it, and I totally forgot to bring it up here. That was going to be my foray into whiteboard writing up here, but we'll save that for later. You need three things. Are you ready? Number one, you need wonder. Number two, you need risk. And number three, there needs to be an impact. So if you have those three things, what you have on your hands is an adventure. Okay? Wonder, like that's the unexpected. Okay? Risk, what do you think that means? Like danger, right? And then the impact means that after your journey, after this adventure, you need to be changed, deeply changed. Okay? So I want you to keep that in your mind as we go through this story, and I want you to pick out those things. And I'll point them out to you along the way, just to make it easy. But I also want you to do this. I want you to think about your life and how these things actually apply to our lives, too. How the situations that we're in right now may actually be an adventure, part of a larger plan, part of something bigger that actually challenges us, right? And requires us to step forward in faith into the unknown, but knowing that God is with us. You guys ready? Don't sound so excited. Verses 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Crazy, right? Right there, just. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. So you got to imagine, you have a young lady, young, like teenager, but not too young, okay? And then you have this young man, right? And they're going to get married. They're in love. They're going to start a life together. And they're in this betrothal period, which is a year leading up to their actual marriage. But this crazy news comes, right? And Mary finds out that she's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. But the baby is the Son of God, okay? So that's pretty crazy right there. Let's keep going just a little bit more. And the guy, Joseph, right? He's supposed to marry her. He finds this out, and he is having a hard time dealing with this. Like, this is not easy for him. And he has this choice to make, this very difficult choice, because people are, like, talking, and people are saying things. The rumor mill's going, right? And everything that he has planned for their lives is now just a mess. It's like overturned just like that when all of a sudden an angel appears. So, stop right there. We could all, okay, so who's seen an angel before? Is this normal? Is this whole situation normal? So who's seen an angel? Nobody? I expected at least one hand, right? Two. We got three. So they're popping up everywhere, right? So I expected that. Now, that's pretty wild. But has anyone here actually had to carry the Son of God as a baby? No, you have not. I didn't expect that. So that's it, right? Right there. That's the first thing. Do you remember what the first thing was? Wonder, right? Angels, Son of God as a baby into a young teen girl. That's wonder. That's the definition of unexpected right there. And the angel tells Joseph, right? He says, Joe, you got to take Mary as your wife. You have to, like, don't run away. Don't be scared, but step up. Step up and trust her. Trust what she's telling you, and then trust what I'm saying to you too. Trust that with God, all things are possible. And that this baby that you guys are going to have is so unique. Like, there's never been one like this before. There never will be one like this again. And Joseph is left having to make this choice, right? And he has to choose. Is he going to believe this impossible news? Because it's going to affect the rest of his life. So he trusts God. And he steps out into the unknown. Okay? Verse 21. She will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from his sins. It's an amazing, amazing thing that they're involved in right here. Amazing. They probably don't even realize how unbelievable this is. So now we have a leader far away, and he's not real nice. And because of political, social reasons, we won't get into the details of it. Mary and Joseph, they got to pack up, and they have to leave their home that you know, Mary's been knitting the baby's clothes, and Joseph just painted the wall blue, and now they got to go. Like, they're all ready, but now they have to leave, and they have to go back to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem. And it's like, he shouldn't have moved so far away, but he did. Now he's got to go back. Do you know how far that is? From Nazareth to Bethlehem? It's like a 2-hour drive if you get the traffic just right on the highway. So it's quite a while, right? They didn't have a car though, right? There weren't cars. You're just gonna believe me, weren't you? That they were driving. Or you're just like, he's so crazy, I'm just letting it go right over. So, all right. So they had to walk. Or maybe they rode a donkey. And now we're talking, it would take them like 20 to 30 hours of traveling. Okay? But you gotta remember something. Mary's pregnant. Like, Mary's very pregnant. Okay? And so really pregnant women, if you guys remember, if you got like little brothers and sisters, you probably remember mommy, but really pregnant women, they don't walk very fast. And they probably don't ride donkeys very long either, right? So let's just say it's a solid 40 hours to get there, okay? So off they go. They're going. Remember, they're still trying to wrap their heads around we're having the Son of God as a baby, okay? Just that alone is enough just to flip everything. And now they have to travel 40 plus hours to this town, to this city that they haven't been to in who knows how long. Mary's probably never been there. A whole new strange place, right? They have to leave the comfort of their home. But isn't that what an adventure is all about? Taking you outside of your comfort zone? So they start traveling. If this was wintertime, it rains a lot and it's like cold at night. So you're talking about rain during the day and then 30 degrees, 34 degrees at nighttime. So they're dressed in these heavy wool clothes and they're soaking wet probably. And then at the end of the day, they just got to huddle up next to a fire as close as they can to try to keep warm, right? And it's like they're not walking on just flat land. It's not like 40 miles flat. They're going up hills and down hills. They're crossing creeks. They got to get across the Jordan River to get where they're going, right? And then here's the part that you never hear. They don't want you to hear this, but they got to go past the dense forest. Do you know what there was in that forest back then? They're not there now. Do I dare ask? Yeah? Absolutely. What else?
Lions.
And close. It's not Wizard of Oz. But so there were lions, there were bears, there's wild boars, like angry pigs. Okay? Which that's not good either, right? So in those forests, that's what they're dealing with as they go past there. And you know what else there is hiding throughout? There's bandits. There's bandits. There's guys that would rob you. And so then you have poor Mary and Joseph, and she's trying to just like, they're trying to keep up with this caravan, with this crowd of people, so they'll be safe, so they won't be separated and picked off by all these dangerous things. Dangerous. Sounds like a risk. Sounds like the second thing that you need in an adventure, right? But they made it through it. They made it through because God is with them. And the promises that he gives is that he's with us every single day. So they get to the city. They get to Bethlehem. Busy, right? It's busy. It's crowded. It's noisy. It's dirty. It's dusty. And poor Mary, she just needs a place to rest. Joseph's running around. He's like looking for a place to stay. Like, I need a hot shower, somebody to rub Mary's feet, and he gets none of it. None of it, right? And so they search and they search, and they find an area where the animals are kept. It was probably in a cave or some stone little outdwelling. And it's not pleasant, and it's cold, and it's strange. And you got to remember, here comes this baby, right? And there's no hospital. There's no doctor. There's no nurses. Just her and Joseph are there all alone. Or are they? Are they alone? Because that's what Matthew wants us to see. When Matthew gives us the scripture from Isaiah, verse 22 and 23, look, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. See, God with us. God chose to be with them, with you and me, with all of us here, with everybody on this planet. This promise from long ago hasn't changed. God chose to come in human form to be with us. So I got to ask you guys a question. Just think about this for a second. If you had the power, if you had the power and you created an entire universe and the stars and the planets, and then you had one planet and you placed all these little people on it, right? And you had a plan for those people and you laid out your plan for them. And then you said, do what you will, right? And then they messed up the plan. Now you say, okay, I got to fix this. I got to make right what went wrong. And I got to come down there and I got to come to them and I got to show them how this can be fixed. If that were you, if you set all that up, how would you choose to come down there and reveal yourself to those people? Like, what would you do? Like, okay, how about this? Would you choose, out of all the things, would you choose to just show up as an innocent, helpless little baby? Knowing that the second you arrive, people want you gone. People want you out of there. Is that how you would choose that? I wouldn't. Like, that makes no sense to me. I was thinking, like, on a cool chariot of some sort, right? Or something wild, but not as a little helpless baby. So why did God do that? Do you know why? Have you ever seen somebody walk in the room with a baby? Have you seen all the women? What do? They're like, right? Because to really connect and have strong relationships, true, meaningful relationship, to really touch each other and go on a different level, to be close to someone, you have to become vulnerable. And it's when we're helpless, it's when we're vulnerable that we connect at the deepest level. See, to change someone's life, they have to know that you need them in your life, that you want them in your life. And so Jesus came as a baby. Think about that. Think about that. God of the universe came here for one reason, to bring us closer to him, so that it is in its truest form God with us. And that's the last thing that you need for an adventure, is an impact, to be changed deeply by something, right? And the whole life of Jesus, that's what we look at every week when we come here, right? The whole life of Jesus is him showing us his love by inviting us to come closer to him and to enter into life, into what is nothing less than an adventure. So now, adventure might look different and it might seem not as fun in certain times. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's difficult. For like Mary and Joseph, we just talked about all the stuff they went through. Were they like having fun when the wild pig was like ready to attack? Do you think that's fun? It's not fun. No way. You'd be pig food. Totally. But God was with them, right? God was with them. Have you guys ever heard of Helen Keller? Anybody? Rissy has, right? You know, a couple people out here have. You know, Helen Keller, she was this famous writer, and she was actually a famous speaker, too. And she was totally deaf and blind. She couldn't hear. She couldn't see. Right from childhood. Lived her whole life like that. And this is what she said about our life here on earth. She said this: life is either a daring adventure or it is nothing. See, God's choice to enter into our lives as one of us totally embodies that quote, because that was the only option for him to come, to be with us, to save us, and then to offer us everlasting life. For God, it was either that or nothing at all. And he was willing to take the risk. He was willing to present the wonder. He was willing to have the impact to save what went wrong. You know, for Mary and Joseph, to step out into that unknown, right? To take that trip, that journey, to go forward meant that they had to look at their life's circumstances, and they had to look at it in light of God being with them, placing their trust in him, embarking on an adventure not alone, but with God, because God has a plan. And Matthew frames all this under Isaiah, and he's letting us know that even if we don't ask for it or realize it, God is with us, each of us, personally. As personal as he was with Joseph, and he is with us as personal as he was with Mary. Jesus leaves those that he touches changed. So when we look at Christmas and we look at baby Jesus in the nativity, I want you to look at it for what it is, a bold adventure, as Jesus continues to be God with us, Emmanuel. Amen? Can you kids do us a favor, us adults, a favor? All right? They're like, I'm not committing to anything you say. I have no idea what I'm getting set up for. Here's what I want you to do, guys. Will you guys remind us, adults, because we need this, remind us that following Jesus is an adventure. It's an adventure that's full of wonder. It's an adventure that's full of risk. And it's an adventure with absolute impact to change us and to change the lives around us deeply. Could you guys do that for me? They're still like, I don't know about that. All right. We'll just say yes. All right. Let's pray. And then you know what? We're going to take communion together today. Father, we do just thank you for this special gift that you gave us with Jesus.